This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Ms. Laporte's testimony, if allowed, and it should be, I believe, that her job was to do the background checks on anybody that wanted to visit Maya. That's DCF rules. That's the way it works when you have a child that's sheltered. And she got a list from Jack as to who he wanted to have approved, and she would do that background check. And if they were not on the list and not vetted, they were not allowed to visit.
Well, again, we have to be very specific about times. And paragraph C, Mr. Whitney, does refer to two child friends and two relatives for unsupervised contact. Doesn't say anything about prohibiting supervised contact with others.
No, I'm not talking about supervised contact. I'm saying they can't, that this child could not just be visited by anybody that wanted to walk in the door. Those are DCF rules, Judge. I mean, this child is sheltered. I don't know if it's specifically in the order, to be frank with the court. But the DCF rules, when someone is sheltered, is that then they are protected. And in order to protect the child, no one gets to see the child unless they have been vetted. That's the DCF rules. She is under DCF rules at this point.
The dependency court order here limited for unsupervised contact two child friends and two relatives, but doesn't talk about supervised visitation with others.
I understand that.
I mean, outside of, you know, Jack Kowalski.
I understand that, Judge, but she is sheltered under DCF. Yeah. DCF rules are that if you're sheltered, you cannot have anybody visit you that has not been vetted. It may not be in a court order, but that she is under DCF rules. Then DCF rules take over, and under DCF rules, anybody who's sheltered, they have to be vetted, which of
Going
course
back
makes sense.
Going back to where you started all of this, you wanted to ask if she was the person that was to conduct the background checks.
Yes. Yes, and that
and that question is fine.
Okay, and under DCF rules, if you are not cleared, you are not.
I think I can handle that next issue by a jury
advising them that DCF
as to what the dependency court order allowed or didn't allow.
Judge, I don't think that covers the entire topic because she is sheltered into DCF rules and DCF rule and with DCF. DCF has its own guidelines then that they have to follow.
I would imagine I can handle, if we need to instruct as to what DCF guidelines are, I think I can handle that by a jury instruction. I don't need a person to come in and interpret DCF's rules and regulations.
So make sure I'm clear, Judge. So you're fine with me asking her if she was the one that was tasked with vetting the persons who wanted to see Maya?
We object to that question as phrased because it's not specific to date, and she was not even involved until mid-November, so she couldn't have been the one that was doing this, performing this function. And we have communications from Jack Kowalski that he was sending to others at DCF and not this subcontractor.
So long as you're clear on the date, you can ask the question if she was the one that was to do the background check.
Okay.
Is there anything else, or can we bring in the jury?
Well, I think I need to, I think she's here, Judge, and I mentioned it to her, but I just want to emphasize with Ms. Laporte, because her natural go-to when I ask questions is to say, well, the court ordered, and I've told her that she cannot do that, and I want to go out there and just reemphasize with her.
Yes, you can.
That she is not to refer to what's happened in the court or court orders. Is that?
Yes.
Okay. Or DCF rules. We're going to handle that through a jury instruction if necessary.
I agree with Mr. Whitman.
Okay. I just want to go do
yes.
that very briefly, Jeff.
She's here in the hallway. So
she is? Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. get into one of those issues.
Do what they did, ask to approach.
Yep.
All rise, jurors entering.
Okay, please be seated, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Tuesday.
I want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves, you did no investigation, and you did not receive any information about the case. Is that all correct?
Correct.
And overnight, no one approached you about this case. Is that correct? And you did not observe any media accounts of this case. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you very much. Ms. Croyles.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes.
Good. You just walk right over to step.
Can you go ahead and state your name for the record?
Charlotte Laporte.
Ms. Laporte, we're going to get into your background, but just so the jury understands where we're going, at one point in time, in November of 2015, were you a case manager involved with the Kowalski family and the DCF matter?
Yes, I was.
Okay, all right. So let's give the jury just a little bit of your background. Can you go through your educational background for us?
Okay, I have my associates in human services, my bachelor's in social work, and a master's in psychology.
Okay. Let's talk about your work background. So I understand starting in 2009, you started to work for the Department of Health. If you could explain what you were doing and where you were working.
Okay, so I worked on the University of South Florida campus. That's where they house children's medical services and their medical foster care team. So I was a social worker for medical foster care.
Can you explain to the jury what medical foster care is?
Okay, medical foster care is when a child needs a higher level of medical care. They've come in from egregious abuse or medical neglect, and the children are on vents, they need higher interventions than a normal foster home would be able to accommodate. So I worked with them to ensure the children were getting what they were needing, that parents were able to be engaged in their medical care to the best of their ability, and attend court hearings, present how the child is doing, how the parents are doing.
Okay. So was that from 2009 to 2014 that you were involved with working for the Department of Health as a social worker with medical foster care? Is that accurate?
Correct, yes.
Okay, all right. And then where did you go from there?
Then I went to work for Pathways as a case manager.
Can you explain to the jury what Pathways is and the connection with DCF and with Safe Children Coalition?
Okay, so if a child is removed from their parents' care, That's done by the Child Protection Investigator.
Is that CPI? They put a lot of initials.
CPI. Well, I didn't know. CPI are the acronym for Child Protection Investigator. So after that has the child's been sheltered by the state. So CPI doesn't keep the case forever. They transfer it over to what's called case management, and then we try to start working with the families, the children, to help get them in the services to hopefully rectify the reasons that the child was removed from their care.
All right. And how is Pathways connected to Safe Children Coalition, if the jury sees that, those words?
Right. So at that time, it was Pathways, but since then, the Safe Children Coalition, we are under the umbrella of the Safe Children's Coalition, their case management unit.
Okay. All right. And how long have you been working for Pathways and in doing this work that you did with the Kowalski family as a case manager?
7 years.
All right. So I want to talk about your role with the Kowalskis and that family. By the way, was your role with this family similar to the role you would have with any other family in the same scenario, with
yes.
somebody that's been sheltered?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, did you meet Maya?
I did meet Maya.
Okay. And if I suggest to you that the first phone call that, well, strike that. In addition to meeting Maya, were you involved with supervising Beata Kowalski's phone calls with Maya Kowalski?
Yes, I was.
Okay. As of November 15th, 2016, were Beata Kowalski's phone calls required to be supervised?
Yes.
Okay. Were you also tasked with reviewing any written communication between Beata Kowalski and Maya?
Yes.
In other words, you had to look at it and approve it before it could be given to Maya. Is that
correct?
Okay. All right. In addition, were you also involved with vetting or doing background checks on anyone who wanted to visit Maya Kowalski?
Yes.
I'm going to overrule that objection.
Yes, I was involved in vetting.
Okay. So, do you recall your first visit with Maya in November of 2016?
My first face-to-face when
yes.
I went to visit her at the hospital?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay. At that time, do you tell me about the interaction with Maya?
Maya was pleasant. She was easy to talk to. I was explaining to her why I was there, that I just needed to go see her and wanted to see how she was doing. I tried to build rapport, just being more of small talk, and she was showing me her favorite things like Shopkins and whatnot, trying to get insight into what she likes. I kept it as simple as possible because it was the first meeting, and I didn't want to cause any anxiety to her more than I had to.
Okay. In your interactions with Maya, I'll strike that. Okay. I'm striking myself. All right. All right. So let's talk about the monitoring the phone calls with Beata Kowalski. Can I ask you to put up, please, 3197-0001, which is in evidence. Do you see on your screen there, is that an email from you to Beata Kowalski?
Yes.
Okay. And what is the purpose of this email that you sent to Beata Kowalski?
It lays out a parameter to make it a quality phone call, so that it, again, wouldn't cause anxiety to Maya by discussing these types of things. We want it to be a positive interaction, just what she was doing, going over her schoolwork, anything like that. Just to keep her from going into anything that relayed to the case or the particulars of the case. It was supposed to be a quality call.
All right. And at this time, these were supervised calls, correct?
Yes.
All right. So is the reason to please only speak English to Maya to allow that supervision to occur?
Correct.
Overruled.
I didn't hear your answer, ma'am.
Correct.
All right. Then there were some other guidelines that you put on there. Excuse me. Do not discuss pain therapies or anything medically related. That was also relayed to Beata Kowalski, correct?
Yes.
Object to leading.
Overruled.
You also advised her not to discuss mental health issues, as you laid out in the email, correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, I don't see in here any direction to not discuss the actual DCF case. I'll strike that. We'll talk about that in a minute. All right, so as a result of your role as case manager on behalf of DCF, did you then monitor a call with Beata Kowalski?
Yes, I did.
The first one, okay. And have you had an opportunity to listen to a recording of that call?
Objection, voir dire.
I would like for you to listen to a recording that the jury's heard twice already. If you could play 2608A, please.
Okay. I'm recording this phone call so everybody knows.
Okay. Hi, Mommy.
Hi, honey. How are you, sweetie pie?
I'm great. I miss you.
I miss you so much, too. I miss you so much every day. Every single day.
You're not all happy. It makes me feel to hear your voice.
Same here. I miss you so much, and I am so happy that I'm finally able to hear your voice, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you say, sweetie?
I hope I can see you soon.
I would love to see you soon. I would love to see you soon. We just have to wait for the judge to make the decision, okay? As soon as he makes the decision, then I'll be able to see you.
Okay? Beata, Bernardo, about the case, okay? Maya, honey, we're going to talk about what you've been doing, if you need any Shopkins or things like that, if you had nice visits with your daddy, but we can't discuss the case, okay, honey?
Ms. Laporte, whose voice is it on the recording redirecting Beata Kowalski?
That's my voice.
That's your voice?
Yes, you can hear my voice. So yes, that's my voice.
How confident are you that that's your voice?
I'm very confident.
Okay. Let's play 2608B, please.
How are you doing? How is CP and LC going for you?
Not good. Okay. Beata, we can't discuss any of those type of matters, okay?
Okay.
On Exhibit 2608B, which is a continuation of that call, Ms. Laporte, is that also your voice, again, redirecting Ms. Kowalski?
Yes.
Let me ask you this. why were you redirecting her at that point?
Because it was going towards her medical care. I redirected her about court because we had already previously spoke about that. It wasn't in the email, but we had spoke about it. So the redirections, I don't like having to redirect. It's better if the parent just stays on task, because again, that causes anxiety.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
It's better if the parent just stays on task and makes it light for the child, because it causes anxiety. But yes, that was my voice.
Okay, let's hear 2608C, please.
What do you use in your help work?
My pants.
What happens with the pants?
I just can't lift them up.
You can't pull up the pants anymore?
No.
But when did that start, Maya?
I don't know. Maybe a while ago. I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember when it started.
Because
TBH.
But TBH.
Yep. I know we can let that line of conversation out. Thank you.
Okay.
That's my voice.
Okay, how confident are you that that's your voice?
That's my voice. I'm okay. Very sure.
Well, let's talk about how you had to arrange.
Very sure, yes.
Let's talk about how you had to arrange the phone calls. You were not present in the hospital when that call was being made and you were supervising it. Is that correct?
Correct.
So how would you, can you just explain to the jury, first of all, what schedules had to be accommodated, how you had to arrange the calls with Beata Kowalski?
Okay. So to be able to arrange the calls, I had my schedule, because I had other cases at the time. I had to be out in court and field and all kinds of different things. So my schedule, Beata's schedule, because she was working. The hospital, because they have to be able to accommodate someone to be in there to help get her on the phone. And then there's also Maya's schedule, because she was in therapies and had other things. So it kind of was like a chain that had to all come together.
Okay. With respect to this phone call on November 15th that the jury just heard snippets of, were you connecting with Kathy Beatty for that call to make sure that it happened?
Yes. I recall that I had to coordinate with the hospital, and I did a lot of coordination with Kathy, because she would then have an aide available or somebody available to be able to accommodate the phone call.
And was it typical that in your role with DCF that you would coordinate with the social workers at the hospital?
Yes.
Following that phone call with Ms. Kowalski, with Beata Kowalski, did you then have some further communication with her regarding reminding her about the parameters of the call and what not to discuss?
Numerous times.
Numerous times?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not the only phone call that you supervise, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And if Ms. Beata Kowalski started to discuss one of those topics, would you then redirect her on those calls?
Yes, I would redirect her. I asked her in hopes that she would redirect if she saw it going that way, but sometimes I would have to redirect her.
Okay. In addition to the phone calls, you were also tasked with reviewing any type of written correspondence. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Between Beata Kowalski and Maya?
Correct.
All right. And were there occasions when Beata Kowalski would indicate to you that some of her email or cards or something were not getting through to Maya Kowalski?
Yes, there was times where she asked me why the hospital didn't receive the correspondence.
And did, and on the a couple of those occasions, you recall informing Ms. Quasi that you hadn't received them, and she resent them to you?
Correct. Yes, she resend them. And I was in the habit of making sure that when she sent me something, I would also CC Kathy and her attorney, I believe, so that they would all see that I was forwarding it to the hospital.
Okay. But there are a couple occasions when Mrs. Kowalski was confused as to why Maya had not yet received her communications, emails, or pictures, and you had to have them resend them back to you because you didn't recall receiving them. Is that
objection
fair?
Again, you're saying. I'm sorry. Leaving.
Okay. Okay. Do you recall, and if not, I can refresh your memory, specifically any specific events, times when you had to advise Ms. Kowalski that you had not received them?
It wasn't frequent. It was probably a couple times, and once I received it, I went ahead and forwarded it to the hospital.
Okay. All right. But to be clear, the pathway of that communication was it wouldn't go directly to the hospital. It would have to go to you first, mm-hmm. and then you would forward it to the hospital.
Yes.
Correct? Do you recall making arrangements for Beata Kowalski to have a phone call with her daughter on her birthday, on Maya's birthday?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And was that on a Saturday?
Yes.
Okay. And did you coordinate that with Kathy Beatty, that even though it was on a Saturday, you would volunteer to supervise the call, and Kathy Beatty had arranged to make sure that that call could happen?
Yes.
May I approach your honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, is it accurate to say that you did not, or there were not as many calls arranged as the mother would have liked?
Yes, that's accurate.
In fact, that she would like to have done daily calls, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And was that just not feasible given all of the moving parts that had to be arranged, including supervision time?
There was not enough people to be able to facilitate it every day.
Okay. Sorry, can I approach you here?
Yes. Okay, you can continue, Ms. Carlos.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you. Sorry. Give me 1 second, please.
Ms. LaPorte, you were aware that Beata Kowalski did not want Kathy Beattie on these calls, were you not?
I don't recall specifically that she did not want Kathy on the calls. She would question me if Kathy was in the room and why the phone was on speaker, but again, there was two approved supervisors, myself and the guardian ad litem, and then we have to have someone from the hospital. So if Kathy Beattie was in the room, it's because she was helping to facilitate the phone call.
That's not my question. My question was, were you aware that Beata Kowalski did not want Kathy Beattie on these calls?
I can recall a specific email where she had asked why Kathy had to be in there and that she did not want her on speaker.
It was a little bit more than that. She said...
Objection, Your Honor. If you need to refresh your recollection, you can do that.
I shall.
Don't read it to the jury.
I won't. Yes, Your Honor. Let me show you trial exhibit, although I don't think this one's in evidence, 2123-670. May I approach, Your Honor?
You may approach.
Judge, may we approach the
for me to show you a series of emails where Beata Kowalski addressed this.
Okay, you're going to read it to me?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I wasn't going to. I can't read it to you.
I'm going to show you some
background. Oh, that's fine. I'm going to need to put on my glasses, though.
Okay.
So.
Reviewing it, let us know.
Can I just see? Okay, yes.
And one for you from December 6th, but for the record, 3217-0673. I don't believe this is in evidence, but.
Okay.
Does that refresh your recollection about Beata Kowalski's wishes?
Yes.
She did not want Kathy Beattie on those calls, did she?
Well, my interpretation of this is because I cannot...
I don't want you reading the email.
Okay.
Does it refresh your recollection as to...
It does, okay, yes.
Then just tell him your recollection.
Okay, so my recollection is that she did not want her to be part of the conversation. So she was not part of the conversation. If she started to facilitate the call because she was the person available to do that, she was not included in the call. She never in any way inserted herself into the phone calls.
Are you trying to tell the jury that you reviewed every single phone call between Beata Kowalski and Maya?
I can only speak to the ones that I was involved in.
So you don't know what went on in the other calls, do you?
No, I can only speak to the phone calls I was involved with.
And in this instance, you would call her, and then you would merge the calls. Is that right?
Yes.
And then after that, you would, and in this way, then that was your connection, right?
Correct.
And in some occasions, Beata would complain because there would be background noise. Do you recall that?
I don't recall that.
Okay, all right. So afterwards, I guess to make sure that you knew what dates you were on the calls, then you had handwritten notes, did you not? You would write it out.
I would. Oh, yes, I did write out my handwritten notes.
And then later you would, transpose those, the handwritten notes, to writing, right? You would type it up, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you've produced the typed versions here, have you not?
They're part of our system, right. So they're in the system.
Where are the handwritten notes?
The handwritten notes are in my office.
All right. Well, I thought you had said before that you destroyed the handwritten notes.
I never said I destroyed the handwritten notes.
But you do not have them here today?
No.
All right. So now, the reason that you were monitoring these was to keep Maya safe. Is that right? To help promote her health and her safety, and so forth. Right?
Monitoring the calls?
Yeah.
Just so that I could facilitate a phone call between a mother and a child was really the main reason for the calls.
I understand. But the idea was to keep Maya safe or free of harm from issues or things that might be communicated to her. Is that right?
Yep.
Objection sustained.
Are you aware that the testimony about that one call there is, there's been other testimony here today that recognized that voice as Kathy Beatty's?
I was made aware that someone had said it wasn't my voice. I was told that two people said that it was not my voice,
right. But
I don't know who they were associating that voice with.
Okay, so they didn't tell you it was Maya Kowalski?
Maya Kowalski?
Maya Kowalski identified the voice as Kathy Bates.
Okay, that it was absolutely my voice. I think anybody that has heard my voice in here today and on the recording could tell that that was my voice.
I was simply asking you if you knew that Maya Kowalski identified.
I did not know that, no.
And who is Jessica Blackrick?
She's the guardian ad litem manager. She was one of the people approved to supervise the calls.
Right. And that she identified on those calls, some of those calls in any event, that there was Kathy Beatty.
That's incorrect. It was me.
Okay. So, in this role, again, I can't get in. I got to approach to ask him before this question. Sorry, guys. Based on the words, no further questions.
I'm sorry, you received another question?
Yeah.
Ms. Crowells?
After the November 15th phone call that the jury heard snippets of, did you have communication with Yada Kowalski addressing, again, why you had to redirect her?
Objection, hearsay.
I'm just asking if she, okay. Did you, sustained?
Sustained.
Did you have further communication, just did you have further communication with Mrs. Kowalski, with Yada Kowalski?
Yes, I did.
One minute.
Hey, members of the, or on that one question, do you have any follow-up?
No, Your Honor, not on that one.
Really? That was such a good question.
Members of the jury, do any of you have any questions?
It was.
Yes.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.